Welcome to Got Invention Radio with your host, Brian Free.
Welcome back to Got Invention Radio. We have Mr. Richard Klar from Mineola, New York, an intellectual property attorney for over 25 years. Is that right?
That's correct.
Sounds good. Just so our listeners have the information to call in again, 877-474-3302. And you can also email Brian@gotinvention.com with your questions. I actually just got another question for you, Richard.
Go right ahead.
Somebody's asking, if they mail a letter to yourself in a sealed envelope and save it, is that enough protection for them?
It's not protection. I think people like to use these things as evidence of early inventionship. You know, like a sealed certified letter to show that you came up with the idea earlier. But without a patent, you have no rights to enforce against someone else.
Okay. I know that a few different attorneys have said different variations of an answer to that. So,
it's
fine.
Better than not having it, but a patent is probably the best protection you can get. The next best protection is to have an NDA and be patent pending. The third is at least be patent pending. And then if there's an infringement going on, you can petition the patent office to try and speed up securing the patent in the patent office.
There's another question. How long is, and I know this answer, but I'll let you answer it. How long is a provisional patent good for, which we said was for a year, right?
1 year.
And the non-provisional or utility.
And within 1 year, you have to file both in the U.S. and in foreign countries to claim the benefit of the provisional filing date.
Okay.
So it's a one-year time frame for both U.S. and foreign. And the U.S. patent only protects in the United States. You need to get patents in each of the foreign countries.
How long is a patent good for?
A utility patent, 20 years from the filing date. A design patent, 14 years from the date of grant.
So
the
if
day
I
the patent issues.
Okay, so let's say I come up with this really cool design for something.
Right.
And, you know, I want to protect it. So I make up this design patent and I file it with you. There's no claims. I know we didn't discuss all this yet, and that's what I want to kind of lead into. But there's no claims in there. It's basically a drawing of what it looks like and kind of how it functions. Is that right?
Well, yeah. Well, basically, you're claiming what's shown and described in the application. So you're really claiming what's shown in the drawings.
Do you think that a design patent is worthless?
No, it's not worthless. I think it very often it can be considered weak because if you make enough of a variation in the look, you can avoid it. However, what some of my clients have done is when they have products, they get design patents for a number of embodiments. So basically, it's like a picket fence. You know, you change it, it looks more like this one. You change it, it looks more like the third one, and so on. So that pretty much they infringe one or the other.
Okay, so what really makes up a utility or non-provisional patent? What is it that makes that so prestigious?
A utility patent protects you in terms of the invention, and we can claim the claims are what sets out the meets and bounds of your monopoly. They define your invention. We try and claim the broadest claim in minimal language. So let's say you invented a chair. I would say you claim a chair comprising a seat and at least one leg connected thereunder, right?
Okay.
So if they make it with two legs, three legs, or four legs, it would still infringe because it has at least one leg and a seat. That's why utility patent could be better.
Okay.
It doesn't matter if it has extra stuff, as long as it you claim the basics.
But realistically, in this day and age, I mean, I think Lewis Foreman said that we pretty much have everything that we need to live, but there's different things out there that are unique and novel, and it seems like most of them are modifications of what's already out there. So is that protected? Are we able to protect that?
Yeah, you can protect improvements to known things. That's also patentable. So let's say the chair's out there and you came up with putting bumpers on there, you may come up with a rocking chair. Yeah.
Okay.
So, however, it's possible that the basic chair would still block you from practicing the rocking chair because you would infringe if you built it. But the guy who owns the chair couldn't make the rocking chair because you have the monopoly on that embodiment. Yeah.
Okay, so, that makes sense.
In a case like that, sometimes the two patentees cross-license with each other.
You know, as an inventor and getting involved in all aspects of the inventing world, I find that I like the provisional patent to start with. It gives me a chance to really get a grasp of what I'm working with, and it gives me that safety. So when I either I decide to license my idea or manufacture my idea, I have some sort of protection. So once I build that prototype, I like and I have an idea of how it works and how it should look. I file that provisional patent, and then I'm at trade shows and I'm talking to different people that looks like, you know, my product looks like it would align very nicely with their product line, and then I bring it to the next level. So really, that provisional patent, I feel as an inventor, is a really good tool to really see if what kind of marketability you have with your idea. And then I would consider going and moving forward once I figure out what's going to be, and also if there's going to be any changes or anything else like that during that year, that I can make those decisions before I do my utility patent. Is that right?
Yeah, provisional patents offer a practical approach in that basically, if you really haven't determined what the final launch product's going to be, you might want to file a provisional, because sometimes you have a great idea on paper and it looks great, you want to file an application. Then you build a prototype and you find, hey, what looked great on paper can't be built this way. Then you find that when you want to machine this for mass production, it's too expensive to use the prototype, and you had to come up with a third version of this. And I've actually had situations where this has happened, and you end up with three or four patent applications, all in a chain with continuation in parts. Which means
it's a good idea. It's a good idea as an inventor to say to you that
be a good idea.
You know, I need to. I may want to modify.
You still have a 1-year period running on you, and you don't get protection for the new material, but you know you haven't come up with it yet either. So if he finds comfort in that, that's certainly available for use.
Okay, well that's very interesting,
and I have done it for those reasons for clients.
Okay, that makes sense. So we're really coming a long way here with the patent process. And
right.
I just want to touch on, because I see people are saying, well, what if I have no money? Well, you know, it takes money to make money. And
yeah.
I know that, you know, inventors are in all different types of situations. And I speak to a lot of them on a daily basis. And I tell them, listen, if this is something that's very serious to you and you do want to move this and take this to the next level, sell it or manufacture it, you know, sell your idea, license it, whatever, that you have to figure out a way to do it. So you can definitely patent it yourself. I don't know how great of a job you could do compared to somebody that practices that for a living, but you could definitely try to do that. Or what you do is you budget. You take some of your income and you put it into the bank, and when you have enough money, you keep moving forward with the steps towards bringing your invention to, you know, a patent stage. But, you know, you really, once you file that provisional patent, which isn't too expensive, listeners, really, it's not too expensive, and it'll give you that year protection, be prepared. So work your prototype and everything else and file that provisional patent. And then if you feel like you're real tight and you don't really see too much money coming in on the horizon, then you may want to consider licensing it. And I've personally licensed different products with a provisional patent. So is that okay, Richard? I mean,
absolutely. You could even license your concept, your invention, without a provisional, but I would recommend trying to get patent pending.
Right. So if I have a company that's interested in my idea, I could say, listen, I have a provisional patent on this, which the public doesn't know because it's just a provisional. All the details aren't disclosed.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't know what we included in the provisional patent. So it's kind of protected to a point. And you say to them, listen, you know, would you like to license this product from me? And within the year, I'm definitely going to need, you know, obviously there's some sort of interest here. I'm going to need to file a utility patent, or otherwise known as a non-provisional patent. So perhaps you would file it for me, you know, Mr.
Right.
Licensee. right?
Yeah, and also to continue the development, you could say that you're also licensing your trade secret rights to all the changes that you have to the provisional application.
Okay, that's great. We have a couple minutes left, actually about a minute and a half left. I want to give the call-in number, 877-474-3302. I know I've been saying that we would save the question answers for the fourth segment, and people have been emailing me the questions, so don't be shy. The fourth segment, you can call in.
Yeah.
Richard, we appreciate your help, and we'll save the fourth segment for, let's just touch a little bit on the office actions of when you file a patent. And
okay,
let's just touch on well, let's save that for the next segment because we're going to be going into a break in a moment.
Okay.
And then we'll also touch on trademarks and copyrights.
Let's hope so.
All right. That sounds good.
Okay.
Thank you. We appreciate your help with our inventors. And again, we have Mr.
My
Richard
pleasure.
Claron from Mineola, New York, a practicing intellectual property attorney for 25 years. And you're listening to Got Invention Radio with Brian Freed on WSRadio.com, the worldwide leader in internet talk. Take a look at gotinvention.com. We just put a brand new blog on there if you want to blog on there. We're on twitter.com, facebook.com. We're keeping busy social, and we appreciate everybody's support out there. Thank you again, and we'll be back in a moment.
Do you have an idea or an invention and not sure what to do next? Take the first step and get your copy of the book, You and Your Big Ideas by Brian Freed. From protecting your idea to developing it and bringing your product to market, this handy resource guide is a must-have for every inventor, innovator, and entrepreneur. This book is all about you and your big ideas and bringing them to life. Only $10.95. Order now and also receive your free product evaluation kit with the book. Call now.
Buzz Aldrin, the second man to walk on the moon, flies again with WS Radio. Hi, this is Jack Warren, Senior VP for the WS Radio Networks, and on September 3rd, 2009, WS Radio made history by broadcasting from the only Zeppelin in the United States, high above the Southern California skies, and we launched a local station, WSRadioDC.com, the global voice of the nation's capital. We were privileged to have Buzz Aldrin join us for this historic broadcast using new wireless technology for internet radio. We want to thank Mr. Aldrin for his service to our country and invite you to log on to buzzaldrin.com to purchase his New York Times best-selling book, Magnificent Desolation. His autobiography, which covers his incredible Apollo 11 journey to dealing with depression and alcoholism, and his triumph over it. So go to buzzaldrin.com. That's buzzaldrin.com.
If you or someone you know is unemployed, WS Radio wants to help. Hi, I'm Cece Gonzalez, host of Headhunter Radio. Our show is dedicated to all things human resources, getting a job, keeping a job, career development, and best practices. And now WS Radio is also doing their part to assist you in your job search. Log on to www.jobhuntingtoolkit.com, where they've provided some great links and free tools. That's www.jobhuntingtoolkit.com.
Social media. You have heard all the buzz and hype about social media, but with limited hours in the day, you still have not implemented your own social media marketing plan. I'm Angie Swartz, host of Twitter Talk Radio, and whether it is Twitter, Facebook, or LinkedIn, we are here to help you with all things social media. Log on right now to freesocialmedianewsletter.com and get my first of many tips about listening tools. You should be listening to what the public is saying about you, your company, your brand on social media sites. Then, on a regular basis, we will email you short, helpful tips to bring you up to speed on how social media can add to your bottom line. After all, isn't it that the bottom line? So take a deep breath, take a minute out of your busy day, and log on to freesocialmedianewsletter.com. Yes, it's absolutely free. That is freesocialmedianewsletter.com. freesocialmedianewsletter.com.